Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 137. I think last week I said 126. Sorry about that. That was 136 last week. It's 137 this week for Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. On tonight's podcast, we've got Nathan Hernandez. What's up, Nathan? Nathan's muted.
My bad, I forgot. I was trying to see if the fan thing was me.
Oh, no. You're good. We also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday evening.
Yes. It's been an interesting Monday. So, yeah, not too bad, not too shabby. And we also have TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. What's up, Dubber?
Well, it's not a whole lot. Sun came up barely, but it came up. It came up.
Yeah, you read the board at all over the weekend. You'd think that the sun was not going to rise the next day, but yeah, we'll get into the fan disappointment on the game on Saturday here in just a minute. But before we get started with the Baylor game, I do want a quick shout out to the TCU women's soccer team, who have just earned their fourth straight NCAA berth, and that is amazing. Good job, ladies.
Good job.
Do they know who they play first?
I don't know if we have that yet tonight, but okay. And once we find out, we'll definitely post that. But yeah, that's fantastic. They've been playing lights out all year long. Definitely well worth it, and can't wait to see them play in the tournament again. So with that, let's go ahead and move on to the 800-pound elephant in the room, and that's the game that happened on Saturday. Big rivalry game. Kind of got started a little bit earlier in the week when McAllister's delivered the wrong cups to their Waco store. If you didn't hear that story, that was kind of that was interesting, where McAllister sent TCU-branded cups to the Baylor-McAllister store. So, you know, it's a rivalry week when that makes the news, but fortunately, Baylor comes in and beats the Frogs here in Fort Worth in a triple overtime game that was full of controversy, full of good defense for four straight quarters, and there's a lot to talk about here that happened both during the game and following the game, so let's go ahead and jump right in, and let's go ahead and start. Dubber, let's start with you, and this offensive line, I think the fans, for the most part, we're happy for four quarters with defense, and we'll get Shannon in this in a minute, but the offense seems to be the problem area on Saturday, and that offensive line seemed to be getting gashed a lot by that front three by Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say except for, you know, it just doesn't seem like they're playing as best as they can. Now, I will say sometimes they're bringing more than they can block, but you know – you know, when, you know, I would just hope that TCU could line up one-on-one and, you know, their front five, knowing that you got to go against their, you know, their front seven or front five, you know, that you win those battles, and we didn't win near enough of them, that's for sure. I mean, you could see it in the stats and everything else. We couldn't run the ball. You know, we couldn't, you know, Dugan had a hard time throwing the ball. I mean, he got hit a lot still again, you know. So, you know. Yeah, you know, it's almost like we went a little backwards there. I don't know, you know, I hate it because I'm offensive lineman and everything, but I just, we hadn't played as crisp as, you know, as I think we should, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I agree with everybody with what they're saying, you know. To me, it always starts in the offensive line. The bad thing is when they're doing good, nobody says anything about the offensive line, but if they're doing bad, they're pointing at the offensive line, then. Hey, you know, it should be right now. I mean, they're not playing good right now. I don't think.
Well, we'll definitely get into a lot of the situations that happened during those three overtimes. But were you surprised in that last overtime? We had basically five or six plays from within the 3 yard line, and we couldn't get it into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean that's we got a 245 pound running back, you know, and it just seems like, but. You know, I mean, it only takes them five guys, one guy to miss a block. Four guys can do their job, and it don't matter. That one guy misses a block, or that one guy doesn't do it, and it could have been the tight end. I mean, I'm not saying it was always offensive line, but, you know, one guy misses his block, it screws up the play for everybody, you know. And so, I was really disappointed in our struggles down there. You know, you get down there and you got, we had multiple opportunities to the game, not just the overtime, but, you know, that we could have did a couple of things to change this game around. And we just couldn't do it.
Yeah, pass protection was a big problem all game long as well. As you mentioned, Duggan got hit several times. Do you think from what you've seen out of this offensive line, do you think that the issue here is coaching? Is it fundamentals? Is it just a lack of talent? Is it just because, you know, Nying's hurt? What do you see? What do you observe on the field when you're seeing this offensive line?
Well, I just think, we lose a good offensive tackle, but, you know, our front five, you know, we just, I don't know, man, they just haven't played good together. And they, you know, like I said, it only takes one block or two guys are supposed to double team someone, and they both leave the one guy, the main guy, you know, you get tricked on a stunt, you know, and you look at them, you know, they're athletic, so it can't be that. And I have way too much respect for the coach Thompson, and say something about it, because I think he's a heck of an offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, we just have not put it together, you know. And, you know, I think we, you know, I think we're, I don't know. For me, I'm old school. There's a mentality you take out there on the field, and I'm not sure we have that mentality all the time. And that's probably something that bugs me more than anything, because, you know, let me tell you, if I was going to get whipped, there's going to be some consequences. I mean, we're not going to be good either. I ain't going to lie to you. I took it very personal.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I like to see linemen that finish blocks. I like to see people that block to the end of the whistle. And, you know, I like, and that's just not happening all the time. And it's not, you know, and I don't know how you get somebody to do that. A lot of times it's just in them or it's not. And
right,
a whole lot of them that is in right now, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. You take pride and, you know, and finish and play, period. That's what you want to do is finish plays. We've had a hard time doing that, you know. But yeah. I sit there and watch a guy on the backside take off a little bit. Well, it's his guy that ends up running the sideline to sideline and make the play for a 2-yard gain, where if we'd have hustled on the backside, you know, it might have been a 5-6 yard gain. You know, that's happened a lot.
It wasn't just the offensive line that quit on several plays. Yeah, I mean, it's not just them. That may point to a, you know, maybe indicative of a much larger issue that a lot of the fans seem to be screaming about, which they want to focus in on the coaching aspect of it. But Nathan, let me bring you in here real quick, because I know week in, week out, this has been kind of like your clarion call basically for this team, is that you want to see these guys become passionate and get up in somebody's face and finish out these, like Dubber said, finish out these blocks, finish out these plays, knock somebody's head off. And we saw that a bit in the Texas game. We were hoping we're going to see this in another big rivalry game, but I, you know, outside of a couple of plays and outside of Duggan's amazing third overtime run along the sideline, I really didn't see that fire out of the team on Saturday.
Yeah, you see it. You see flashes of it. You see Duggan's QB runs. You see, you know, wall of finishing plays, swarming tackles. But ultimately, what determines a win from a loss is the entire team buying in. And I'm not saying that the whole team hasn't bought in. I don't know exactly what's going on with, like, within the locker room, just because, you know, there's like some guys that just don't talk about it. But there was one play when Jet got hit on the sidelines, and they – you know, they got fired up, Baylor did, because it was a good hit. I'll give them that, legal hit. But just, I don't know. You expect something like that to kind of light a fire into somebody. And I hate to reference it, but the home game 2 years ago, mm-hmm. My last year, it's not a good thing that it happened, but, you know, we got into that huge team brawl. And I'm saying that.
Must have been a good memory because you're smiling as you're recounting this to us.
I am, because that was my only penalty in collegiate football. but as bad as, like, you know, fights are, like, you don't want that, but you still want to see, like, them get fired up when something like that happens and take things personally when your quarterback's getting hit. And it's kind of been like that all season where, you know, Duggan's getting hit or shoved his face into the ground and, you know, no one's really going to help him out. And it sucks to see that because, you know, like, we've all stopped playing at this point, but even when we see it, you know, we get fired up and we want to go out there and we want to do something about it, but, you know, we can't. We're fans. Like, that's not our team now. Like, it's still our team, but it's like we're not a part of it, and so we can't do anything about it. So it's kind of disheartening to not see them back each other up as much as you would expect. So, yeah, that's – and I've kind of just hit on that all season, I feel like. But,
yeah. Well, I want to add on to you. Is, you know, you have a freshman quarterback. You know you have a freshman quarterback. Mm-hmm. Line, you got a veteran offensive line pretty much. You've got a veteran running back. You know, you got veteran people all around him. There might be – I mean, you want your quarterback to carry your team, but at the same time, you know he's a freshman, and you should take responsibility in carrying that team or helping him carry the team. You know, and I just don't see that. And I tell you, the greatest example to me was, and I don't know what you do, but I guarantee you, it would have been a little different. In the fourth quarter, did you see when they went down to their fans and started jumping around, getting all excited right there in front? I mean, it's almost kind of like a slap in our face. They did it in our house. They went down in their corner, their fans. They sit there getting fired. I mean, every one of them. I mean, it was a deal they do. I mean, it was a deal they did. Running around getting fired up, and I was like, really?
You gonna no do respect?
That? And you know, they're just. I mean, that if that can't fire you up right there, and then there's nothing to fire you up. And I just don't feel like. I mean, I don't feel like, and I'm not saying that for everybody. Maybe it's just ho hum, but you know.
Well, what happens is, like you said, you know, I want to hit on a couple things, but when you say even the respect thing, you only can allow people to do things in your stadium on your home turf, and you allow it. That's on you. You know what I mean? If we want to go in there and you know, back in the day, you had to shut us up. If you don't want us to go and do what we need to do and act a fool, shut it down. And to me, there's no dogs. There's not enough dogs. I'm sorry. I'm like you, WC. I'm from the old school. If you do something and we see you do something back in the day, that's all it took is one incident. And quote unquote, we own your butt. Like white on rice, we own your dad. And that's just how it was. If we were dead and something happened, all it took is something out of character, somebody, you know, to just spark a fire in us, and there she goes. But I'm telling you one thing. I've talked to somebody within the circle, and the bottom line is what we're not seeing is leadership. There's no leadership. There's no captain. There's no real guys that's taking guys by the horn. I can scan the sidelines, man, back in the day with great teams we've had. You see players getting on players' butts. I have yet to see it. Not a one time this year. Only fire I've seen is Coach Meacham and Coach Patty get into it. That's the only fire on the sideline I've seen besides Patty.
You mean Cumbie or Meacham?
I'm sorry, Cumbie. It takes more than Patty to do that. That's Patty every week. People have got to buy in. We need to see more fire than what we're seeing. And that's the problem. We don't have anybody ready to step up and take the bull by the horns and let's go, guys. You know? And there was times when it comes to our offense, we ain't got to defense yet, but I'm in the south end zone watching the game from the end zone because I just love watching it from the back. Guys, I don't know if you picked up on it. Most of the time in the fourth and in overtime, they line up in like a 32 set. They had like, it was almost like a nickel. And we're not running the ball right down their throats. By the time you chip up on the linebacker, that's 3-4 yards a pop. You're already starting at the, 40? I mean, my goodness. We can't establish a run game with what we have. It was so disheartening. And in the times they did hand it off, we pick up 7 or 10 yards. And I'm just thinking, they're not changed their defense. They got 3 and 5 in the box. Run the football. Like, why are we, I mean, run it down their throats until they stop it. We stopped ourselves with the play, and that's play calling. So call it coaching, call it what you want. That's play calling. Somebody's got to recognize that, switch it up, and hand it off to our big back, And I don't know what happens to Anderson. I mean, his speed, we needed his speed. I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on, but he's not touching the ball as much as he should. Big boy need to be pounded inside the red zone, but, man, we've got to get the ball to our speedsters. We can't even get the ball to Rager. Like, we're just not doing what we need to do to win. Our guys touching the ball one or two times a game, I'm sorry. If you're going to go out, if you're going to throw a pick, throw it to go into somebody we know that needs to have a ball in their hand. Yep. So we're just not playing good football right now, calling young. I just think we're young. I hate using that as an excuse, but young folk, we've had young teams before, and we play a lot better than this. We need to establish some type of leadership, because right now, I mean, we don't really have much to play for. It is what it is. It's just for pride. This is where we're going to see who wants to step up, who wants to, you know, be leaders, who wants to lead this team to some type of good, you know, finish out on a good note so we can build on next year, because right now I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
Well, and I'll say that. Going back to, I'll tell you what, going back to Rager here for a moment, I won't say I'm disappointed, but I'm a bit disheartened by his play recently, because it seems like when his number's not going to be called, he just mails it in. You know, he's not blocking, he's not running hard, he's not running clean routes. I don't know where his headspace is right now, but I'm, you know, talk about lack of leadership, I'm not seeing it out of him. You know, and he gets upset when he doesn't get the ball, but I haven't seen anything out of him for the last couple of weeks that makes me feel comfortable. If I'm Duggan, I don't know if I want to throw him the ball.
Leadership. You don't get the ball, man, go talk to your quarterback, pick somebody else or whatever. You got to realize they're double teaming you, whatever. It is what it is, but you got to find your role. Like,
right.
That's your role. You got to find you can't just pout and go out like a little baby with your freaking tail between your legs. You know, if that's the case and if that's what people are seeing, That's not being a good leader. That's not being
There were more than one time in that game. I don't know if you want to go back and take a look at it, but I think it was 22 was their safety on Baylor.
Yep.
And he'd come up, he'd cheat up a little bit, he'd wait, he'd look, he'd fall back into coverage, and he'd look at Rager, and he'd see if Rager is committed to a route or not. If Rager's committed to the route, he moves over to that side of the field. If not, he's moving back to the other side of the field. So he's keying off of these guys. He sees it. That's something that had to have been shown him on tape. So if that's happening, he's our number one receiver. He's supposed to be our big leader right there on offense. He's one of those veteran guys that Deborah was talking about. You got to be able to count on those guys. And if Rager is mailing it in, I have no idea what other players on that team have the same mentality, because that's not good to see.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree.
But I will tell you something that was good to see, at least for four quarters, Shannon, the defense. I mean, you know, Nathan mentioned Wallow. I do have to take my earlier statement about lack of fire back a little bit, because Wallow showed it all day long. And it wasn't just Wallow on defense either. Gladney, outside of two plays, Gladney was just all over their top receiver and shut him down for four quarters. But, Shannon, defense. What do you think?
When I was watching the game, I know we were watching this week. We had a lot of people up there, and you know, my thought was, if we just keep the scores the way it is, the defense we're not allowing any touchdowns. Everybody's kicking field goals, whatever the case may be. Let's just keep it this way. Now, we did that for the most part of the game until really overtime, and that's all you can ask for. Now, between, you know, fourth quarter and the third overtime, there was a totally different ball game, like total different two total different teams, play call and everything changed. I mean, the score went from freaking nothing to, you know, whatever the final score was, 30. Well, I forget what the final score, but it jumped up there.
Yeah, 29-23.
Like three overtimes, right?
29-23.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's just like – the dam broke. We made a couple mistakes, you know. We really – On the defensive side, they kept in the game the whole way through, all the way to the third overtime. I mean, that's just what it was. And so you've got to find a way to score. I mean, even if you take it down to the last possession that we had on defense, we did stop them from getting in the end zone where they had to go for two because we're in the third overtime. All we have to do now is score and go for two and make it. We win the ball game. So defense actually really did the best they could do or done their part, you know, the whole game. You know, so you can't be really – I think it's gotten better. Gelling. I think, you know, we have to, obviously, if we want to pick, you know, if anything, we've got to get more takeaways to give offenses more opportunities to score, or we've got to start putting the ball in the end zone from a defensive standpoint in those type of games. So if I had to nitpick, that's the only thing I would say. But, man, to me, I'm proud of the defense. They did I mean, all the effort across the board was awesome.
Did you think that in those three overtimes, do you feel like the defense maybe had gotten gassed by that point in the game, or do you think that Baylor had changed up enough, especially running Brewer more in overtime than they did in regulation? Do you think that that change that Rule made in overtime was enough just to kind of get the ball moving and find those gaps in the TCU D?
A little both. I think, you know, we might have been a little gassed, but I think there were too. I just think, to be honest with you, everything come at that time, coaching, play, everything. I think we got a little out coached. If we're going to point some blame, we just got to point some blame. They ran some plays we hadn't seen that whole third or fourth quarter. I mean, they did what they needed to do to win the ball game, including play calling. I don't think we're just from watching in some of the defenses we were in. I mean, some of the offense we were in compared to their defense, some things I felt we should have took advantage of. And I just think we made, you know, they just made the extra play that we couldn't make because we basically ran out of time, if that makes any sense. But I just think, you know, when it came down three overtimes, whoever made the most mistakes during that period or they called the wrong plays, that team was going to lose. And so, you know, obviously, like I said, when defense held those guys to the touchdown, they stuffed them for the extra point, the 2 points there. All we have to do now, basically, you've got to score twice. And you know what? We just didn't get it done.
Well, you mentioned being outcoached, and there are a couple of plays I want to bring up here and see what you all think about this. So I'll open this up to everybody. First one, Baylor, it's 9-6, and coming down to the end of the fourth quarter, Baylor's kicker, who has not attempted anything close to 40 yards all year long, is out there. TCU has three timeouts in our pocket, and Patterson doesn't try to ice the kicker. Do you think that was a mistake? Do you think he should have tried it in that situation, or do you think, you know what, just let him try to kick the ball?
It depend. Wasn't there a play like that? I can't think of the play in my head, but I thought we did that. There was a play we called a timeout and we shouldn't have, and I think the call – had we let it stand, it would have went our way. But my thing is this: you go. I'm 50-50 on that ice on that situation, because to your point, he hadn't kicked anything. The jitters are there. I'm a believer sometimes that when you call a timeout, instead of letting somebody come up and kick it, especially in a big situation, that their nerves are going and all that. To me, sometimes when you call a timeout, thinking you're icing them, it gives them that woo-saw breath where they can just, you know, they can take it for a second. Players can kind of pat them on the back. You know, it just gives them that, okay, I'm good, I got this. I think sometimes you need to get, while they haven't been kicking, run them out there. The crowd's going crazy. They have that adrenaline. It's more pressure on them at that moment versus calling the timeout, and they get kind of like their second wind, kind of just, you know, let me focus a little bit longer. So, you know, I'm on the fence with that. It's worked sometime, but, you know, to me, it didn't really matter.
Nathan, how about you? What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not an ice the kicker kind of person. If they're going to make it, they're going to make it. If they're going to miss it, they're going to miss it. Obviously, there's some times where they call the timeout too late, and then they've already kicked one, so then they get it out of their system. Honestly, if I was a coach, I don't know if I would ice kickers very often. But, yeah, kind of just going with what Shannon said. They get a little more time to figure it out. Teammates can come say something to them. Fans die down a little bit just because of the timeout, so they don't need to cheer while it's going on. So I'm not an icing the kicker kind of guy.
Well, on the flip side of that, Dubber, let me ask you this question. Again, coaching, situational coaching here. We get the ball back with 36 seconds left. Balls on our, 25-yard line. Three timeouts remaining. Patterson decides to take a knee and go into overtime, tied at 9. Do you agree with that call?
Well, I don't know if I agree with it. I knew it was going to happen.
I did too.
When it happened, I said, well, we're ready for overtime. Somebody looked at me and said, we got such and such. I said, we ain't even going to try. You know, we're going to go to overtime.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of places second guess. It's not like – it wasn't like our offense was moving up down the ball field, you know. So, you know.
But you got to try, though, don't you?
Well, I know. You can sit there and say, you know what? I'd have probably tried first, second down and seen what happened.
Right.
You know, if you make some positive yards. But I will say this about Patterson, and there is no change in him. defense played good all game, you know, for the most part. I mean, you can't complain at all about the defense. And he had it. I could just tell he had that mindset. This was one of them games that he wouldn't go. Hey, his defense been playing well. He didn't see any reason for it to change in overtime. And he was going to go to overtime with that and take his chance there. And, I mean, I just felt like, you know, I felt like in his mind, I felt that was the mentality of the whole game, really. I mean, you know, stuff. I mean, he had the mentality that, hey, he wasn't going to just make the mistake of letting a freshman make a freshman mistake, possibly. And so he decided to, you know. And if you notice, we didn't throw anything deep.
No, we didn't. Not all game.
Oklahoma State game?
Well, no, I just take that back. Mm-hmm. We did throw one ball deep, and it was dropped in the end zone.
We had two. Pro Wells dropped the first one, and Pro caught the second one.
Yeah.
Put us at the 5-yard line. They were both in the first quarter.
With the other guys. We the tight end, yes, but
yeah.
We took that part out of our offense after last weekend, I felt like.
Yeah. I think that was a mistake, and we'll come to play calling in a minute. But let me focus on this one little aspect at the end of regulation, though, and let me throw this out there and see if this changes anybody's mind about Patterson's thinking on this. Coming out at half, I was watching Kel warm up and kicking field goals, and he was kicking from the 45-yard line and from midfield. And from midfield, he's on the C in TCU. He got about one out of three of those at midfield. That's like a 65-yard field goal where he was kicking at. He got one out of three. At the 45, he was kicking almost 80%. So we know this guy's got a range. He kicked a 52-yarder previously. We saw that at the end of the half at the Texas game. And I'm going to have to get going, guys. Hold on. You guys keep talking.
Okay. Well, I believe – this is what I think. I think that he should have – tried, but that I just knew he was not going to try. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that after what happened, that when he was going to just run it out, we were going to go to overtime, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
Well, Gary's not going to take many chances of anything getting blocked, ran back, like he, you know, yep. That was a safe play for Gary. I get it. Your defense been playing good all day. Take the overtime, you take your chances, you know. And, you know, we had every opportunity in overtime to win the game. I mean, the way we were playing the odds were we were going to win the game. We had made enough plays. We just made some mistakes there to let them score and get back in it. I mean, I think they scored on the very third down play. It was third and whatever, and they, you know, they got away with one. But it's like we had them, and then we let them off the ropes.
You're talking about the last play that they scored on? That was fourth and six. Yeah. It was fourth and six.
It was fourth.
Yeah, I was like, man, we left.
We both scored because we had that insane catch on fourth and nine.
Yep.
And then their guy scored. He ran literally just like a post up the middle, and then I think the safety, the corner kind of fell down on the play, and so he was just like wide open.
Wide open, man. So it's just that type of play. That's how it went, man. We had a couple of those in the fourth quarter. So it's just like we had them on the ropes. So, you know, to coach's defense on that, you know, with that going in overtime, he made the right decision.
Yeah, I think what Sean's trying to get at is we just played a very safe game. We didn't really go out of our element. Because, you know, Baylor, they ran the fake punt. Just kind of, I don't know, it's like the whole game we just played. Like, we had the very first play, we pop off like a 16, 18-yard run, and it gets called back for holding. And then after that, we didn't do anything, like, extreme.
Well, that's sure. That's our problem too.
We're
playing behind the chains. So, and I think that goes back to what you were saying earlier, Shannon, like with the whole run games. You know, Jet does get like a huge gain in the very first play, but then we're playing behind the chains because of a holding penalty and we have to throw the football.
Yeah.
And so we don't get the opportunity to run when we should. I mean, the game was never out of our control. We were leading for the entire first. And up until they kicked the last field goal to tie it, we were winning. So we shouldn't. I don't think we should have abandoned the run so quickly. But just it's hard to do that when you play behind the chains because of penalties. And then it goes back to that last overtime. We were on the 3 yard line, then we ended up going back to like the 15.
Yeah, that penalty cost us right there. That was a penalty play, and that hurt.
All
us.
The penalties, I didn't see it.
But I didn't see a lot of the penalties they called on us.
Well, my deal is in that situation right there at that time in the game, you're gonna call a hold call. You better been undressing him. That's a hard call. I mean, you know, two calls right down there at the end of the game went against us. One, the Duga deal that got overturned, and then that call right there. And I'm not gonna blame much on the referees. We had our opportunities. But at the same time, you know, you're down there at the end of the game and, you know, you get slapped like that, not once, but twice.
Yeah, I told Sean before the game that that game was going to come down to a penalty being called versus not being called.
Yep.
Yeah, you did. You did. And by the way, sorry I had to run out real quick. I got a text from my daughter who said that she was smelling smoke upstairs. So. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I figured, but I just remodeled the office upstairs, so with new electrical wiring up there that somebody installed, and I just wanted to make sure. Yes, everything is okay. Sorry about that, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Nathan. I mean, it came down to a penalty. But did you guys talk about that Dugan run that was overturned?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, I didn't want to.
Let's talk about that real quick, because I think the consensus now, hindsight 2020, is that there wasn't enough indisputable evidence to really kind of overturn that call, especially considering the line judge was staring right at the play. And that's one of those things where you have to take that in consideration if you're replay, at least you would hope you would, is that do you have one of your guys in position to see that? And if he made the call and you don't have enough video evidence that shows definitively that person, I mean, it could be a toothpick. It doesn't matter. But if you don't see it definitively, you got to trust the call on the field in that case. It would be a different thing altogether if there was nobody in position to make that call. But that was one of those plays, Nathan, that you were telling me about before the game, that it's just that's a gut punch, especially after that amazing run that he made to get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest gut punch. I mean, those two plays back to back almost were gut punch to gut punch.
Well, it's because it gives you some hope, because, you know, we scored. We did. He got in the end zone. Everybody started celebrating.
At worst,
you know,
it's like, fourth overtime.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, I'm used to that, but it's okay.
Too soon.
Yeah, it's just one of those situations where, like, you know, I actually cracked the touchdown that Shea Will scored in second OT. I dropped my phone and stepped on it wearing boots, and I was like, you know what? Forget it. If we win, it's fine. I don't care. And then we ended up losing. So it's just one of those things where you get excited, you get your hopes up, but then they just kind of take it out of you and just rip your heart out.
There were some social media pictures floating around, and, you know, I called Landry and I saw it. I saw Landry Burdine right there, and he was right there. And I saw him pointing. So I called him. I'm like, you know, is he out? He was on the air. So he started texting me. He's like, man, it's real close. Cause he was right there. Cause I saw those guys pointing down where his feet went out or whatever. But when there were some pictures circulating, and, you know, where he stepped out is, I mean, it's really close. I mean, it is really close. But like, I agree with you, Sean. They didn't – as seeing the review and, everything that we were seeing, same thing they were seeing, you cannot – there was no clear-cut evidence to overturn it. You cannot overturn that play if it's not guaranteed with a shadow of a doubt out of bounds. It was not. Nobody, I mean, it took them a while. The people down there, it was like, Shannon, it was so close. They were right there on top of it. I'm just like, man, you got to let that one ride. I mean, that one, that's what it's all for. That's what it means, you know, what they say when you don't have, if it's not without a shadow of a doubt, man, you cannot overturn that. You got to leave that call in the field. And so I think they got away with one. I mean, that's crap. And that call.
Think about it is if they'd called it out, it's the same thing. You can't really overturn it because it was so close.
Right.
You have to go with the referee's judgment. That's the whole thing about instant replay. If it's right there at the fringe where you really can't tell, call on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they even said it on the broadcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. They argued about that, and I think one of the guys said, you know, hey, well, that's the definition of. You know, indisputable. Yeah, you can't.
The main rules guide that's in like freaking New York or whatever making that call is like, he's like, yeah, they need to just leave that as like a judgment call. Like, I don't know if they can overturn that one.
Yeah.
And they did.
Oh, they did. They did. They did.
Yeah. But to go back what Dubber said, obviously there were so many chances in this game. It should never have come down to triple overtime. Shouldn't have even come down to overtime anyway. I mean, Wells.
17-point lead.
Oh, yeah. Wells catches that first touchdown. You know, who knows what happens there. We don't have an interception in the red zone. Who knows what happened? We're coming away with points there. We don't fumble the ball inside of our 20-yard line to give them an opportunity to kick a field goal. Who knows what happens there? There are so many opportunities that this team had. And let's be honest, TCU pretty much controlled this game for all four quarters. It was their game to lose, and they ended up losing it. But yeah, it's disheartening, and I'm sorry, Nathan, that you're gonna have to replace your phone after on top of all that.
I'm leaving it for right now. It's fine.
But it's one of those games that's kind of a gut punch, and it's gonna be interesting to see how this team can bounce back. But overall, let me point one really nice bright spot, two real nice bright spots in this game. One, field goal kicking. I think a lot of us coming into the season, we were like, we have no idea what we're going to be doing. Last year, we had Bunce out there kicking field goals. Song was nowhere to be seen. We have this guy, Kel. We don't know what he's doing. But I think ever since, I would say, maybe the third or fourth game of the season, field goal kicking has been really good, and it was spectacular on Saturday. Punting, though, did Sandy finally eat his Wheaties? What in the world got into him on Saturday? Because he was all world on Saturday.
Killing it, man. I don't know. That dude was on top of it, brother.
Well, you know, he was on top of it at first, and then he had a little lull in there in the middle of the season. And he got benched there for the second half of the game.
Yep.
And then he's kind of come back on it again. And he's everything that Patterson said he was, you know, Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah, beautiful punts on Saturday.
That was the deal. I mean, this was a typical Patterson game in my mind. Punt the ball deep, keep them pinned down, don't do something stupid on the offense, even though we did several stupid things, you know. But that was his whole deal. Punt the ball deep, keep them pinned down, it worked out. But
field position, yep.
I do want to say one thing. There's a third guy, and I know we don't talk about it. I mean, I talk about him every week. I'm going to still bring him up. Because I think he is one of the leaders, and that's Blacklock. That dude right there, I watched him, I'd watch him, and he tried to get people fired up, and I still say he's the best. Now, you talk about Wallow, you glad he's a hoss, and I'm going to tell you all up, they're good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if I got an MVP, it'd be hard for you to vote against Gladney because he's out there on that island. But Blacklock, let me tell you, our line, I mean, they're running up the middle. I mean, he is a hoss.
Well, he's the reason why that Wallow has so many tackles, too. That's why I led, you know.
He takes up two lines.
Worthen. And his job, I say, Sean, keep him off and let me flow to the football, buddy. You know, that's why
Big Sean.
Yep.
Like, so that's his job. And you keep him off, you let your linebackers flow. And so, great, great point.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, I mean, one of the biggest indicators of how big of a game he had is Mathis had two sacks.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't double-team him, they're in trouble. I'll tell you somebody else who played pretty good on defense, too, that for the second game, and he got a little flack. He's got a little – but Ben Wilson played pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to be a pretty good linebacker. He's going to be another good linebacker for him. He kind of fits in there with Wallow. They kind of got a good little match, but I watched him pretty close, and he played pretty dang good.
He's flying around. He was flying around. I saw him. You know, he made some across the field tackles. So
yeah.
You know, we're gonna always have some solid, you know, for the most part, linebacker play. We just got to figure it out in the back end. You know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, one of the cornerbacks that I was impressed with, you're talking about on the back end, at least the first half, name TCU fans are familiar with, but Hodges Tomlinson. Yeah. You know, he came in, he was kind of thrown out there as starter, and he did a really good job against some really tough receivers, and I was really impressed. Yeah. Came out, made some really good plays. Washington did a fantastic job, even in that first overtime. This defense is getting better, which is great.
Yeah.
And there are some studs out there.
Oh,
it'd be nice if the offense could catch up.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things, you know, as you start transitioning your mind, and we get it. This is not the season one and a half. But for me, I see bright spots for the future to come because, again, those guys are young. And defense, when they start getting better, and these young guys are getting confidence, you know, and they, if they can just finish strong, no matter what that is, you know, we can just try to win out and finish strong on a positive note, especially on defense, because that's our bread and butter for, you know, for Gary's teams, you know, if you will. And so I just feel like when these young guys start getting some experience, it leads into a good spring where those guys can grow, mature, and hopefully find some leaders and you know, set us up for some good years to come, because that's pretty much all that can come out of this year. We've got to figure out how to take this thing and turn it into a positive for growth later on down the line. Because right now, I know we're disappointed in our season. You know, it's a, we have 40-plus, 44, 40, whatever it is, freshmen. I mean, that's, it just is what it is. And I hate to use that, but, hey, you're going to have those kind of years. But it's always good to start seeing some positive out of players, especially young guys who are freshmen, start stepping up and making stride so we know at least what we got for next year.
Yeah, you start to see the kids that even when the game or season's bad, whatever, it is what it is, but you start to see the kids who care enough to not give up in those losses. Yeah. And they're like Duke, and for example, just continuously fighting throughout the game, no matter how it's going.
Yeah, guy's a warrior for sure. And yeah, let's go ahead and end the talk here of the Baylor game with one of the biggest questions, I think, coming out of this game, and that is Sonny Cumbie. Do we think that is his chair, you know, fully ablaze at this point? Do we think he's coming back next season? Do we think that his fate is sealed? Or do we call this, you know, are we seeing some improvement out of the play calling and maybe not ready to jettison him from the staff just yet?
Well, I'll be the first to say, like I mentioned to you before, you know, unfortunately, on the business side of things, and it is what it is, guys. We talk about this all the time, be it kids getting paid or whatever. It's just part of the game nowadays. You know, at the end of the season, you got to look at as head coach, the fans, everybody, you know, I know he probably takes all that in consideration. I don't care. I don't think he cares what we think, but he hears it. He sees it. And right now, the only thing, if there's a bad vibe, there's anything that's being said right now, it's about the offensive play calling. Yes, we had some down days on defense. Yes, we had some down days on special teams and all that. But the trend for us right now is play calling. I think when you know you have a young team, you've got to put these guys in the best position to at least succeed, but get good at some play calling. If I asked you guys right now, with the young quarterback we have and star now going both ways and now that he's the man, what are our bread and butter plays week in, week out that we know we can go get a first down? We know we can do. We don't have.
Bread and butter plays and plays that we can get first down are two different things. I think bread and butter plays would be wide receiver screen.
Right.
Fade.
Like, successful. Yeah, bread. Yeah. That's what I just, because, you know, we don't have, and it's like, come on, man. We got to find something that we do well. And to me, as a coordinator, I mean, listen, it is just what it is. And so I just think it's going to be a good conversation. Let's put it like that. I think they're going to have to sit down and have a legit conversation about the offense. I'll leave it at that for right now. I may have to, you know, we'll revisit this conversation, you know, towards the end of the season.
it's not like it was just this year. I mean, we felt the same way last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't even remember the year before that. I mean, but things start becoming a trend.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the system. I don't know. But to the whole extent of it, like Shannon said, you gotta evaluate that situation. And, you know, sometimes people get gone for the right reasons or for the wrong reasons. But at the end of the day, you gotta evaluate that situation. And, you know, if it's a situation where you think you can get better, you need to go get better.
Right.
And that's all to it. I mean, if you think you got somebody out there better than you did, and you can get them, then you need to go out there and get somebody better, because as good as our defense can be, we got to score points. We got to be able to put points on the board. I mean, if we can't put points on the board, I mean, I think that's one thing Patterson figured out when he first came to the Big 12. You know, he tried that first year or so, and he said, well, I mean, I'm going to have to rethink my, you know, my thought process. We got to bring somebody in here. We got to be able to score points.
Yeah.
And, I don't even look at – he's got me ingrained in it. I'm like, hey, I don't care how many yards. I don't give – all I do is care about one thing. Did we make them kick a field goal? If we can make people kick field goals in our league, we're to win most of our games.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
And he's kind of changed the thought process of some of that, but which we got to score points.
Well, Nathan, let me
– points, and we've had a hard time, not just this year, but last
– yeah, I agree. We have a couple of years. I think ever since Meacham kind of left. But let me – Nathan, let me ask you this. As a guy who knows Cumbie, who's been on the staff, do you think there's been some speculation, especially online from the fans, that – state that, you know what, the fact that we weren't throwing deep, as Dubber said earlier, the fact that we didn't try to go for it at the end of the fourth quarter just shows that Patterson, as much as he says he's hands off for the offense, it's still his team and he still wants to do things his way. Do you think that rings true? Do you think that this offense isn't really fully Cumbie's and that he does kind of have to do play calling based on what he believes Patterson wants him to do? Or is this really Cumbie's team and these are his plays and reflect back on him?
Well, I'll say that I do think that Coach P is as hands off as he says. I think there are situations where it comes up where he's like, you know what, we need to go for two, or we need to do this kind of towards the end of the game, or like making the decision to just, like, you know, kick a field goal in certain situations. But for the most part, I do think Coach P is as hands off as he says he is. Because we've done a lot since Meacham and Cumbie came in, we've always had the co-offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We've always had two, and I think it's Looper is the other one right now. So I do think that there's more than one mind going into the to the offensive play calling, but I do think it's mostly Cumbie. But going back to your point, I do think Coach P is as hands off. With that being said, I think, kind of wrapping up this year and just going into probably next year, I think that he is going to have to, like, you know, kind of make the decision. And I don't think Coach P is the kind of guy that's going to completely just, like, cut all, be all without trying. So I do think that they are going to sit down, you know, just kind of goes back to Les Miles at LSU. Like, how much are you willing to adapt your play call? And, like, are we going to have a problem? Are we going to, like, can we do this? And try to work with Cumbie and see if he'll change stuff up before he, you know, ends up just kind of cutting that bill.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. All right. Well, unfortunately, Saturday did not end the way the Frog fans were hoping. But still three opportunities here. Unfortunately, one of them is Oklahoma, for the Frogs to get two wins and get to a bowl game and at least get those extra practices in. Of course, this Saturday, though, they have got to get past Texas Tech in Lubbock. And let's wrap up the podcast tonight talking a little bit about what you expect to see out of this team following this loss as they travel to Lubbock, the beautiful vacation spot of, well, Texas. What your score prediction might be. Shannon, let's start with you.
I'll keep it short and sweet. It's a pride game. Got the same record at 4-5. We're going to Lubbock, where we have went in and won some lucky games, and we've blown them out there. But they're gonna. It seems like they always remember those times they play us hard. They will play us hard. I think it will be a high scoring game. I think, you know,
with this offense, high scoring.
Well, when I say that, for some reason, our defense played really well last week, and I just don't. To ask them to do that back to back weeks and play on a high level like that, I just think they may give up. But I'm trying to be as realistic as I can with our team, because, you know, we have a roller coaster team right now, and you know, one side plays well, next side we don't play so well, we win 1 week, we lose, it's just one of those years. So as many plays as they played, how much rest they would get this week, I just think we may give up a few more touchdowns this week. I think we'll play better than those guys. I think we got to win this game if we're talking about being in the bowl. So I'll go TCU. I'd like to say they're about 31-27 is what I'm thinking right now. I just think it's going to be one of those games we'll win at the end. It's going to be close scoring, but it's going to be a lot of points.
All right. Nathan?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we've been so up and down week to week. I don't know if we've put two consecutive really strong games together, in my opinion. Outside of Arkansas Pine Bluff and Purdue, but those are two kind of
I don't know. The Arkansas Pine Bluff game kind of worried me a bit.
but yeah. So like just going back to that, I don't think we've put together two like all around well played games. I do think our defense will play pretty well. I just don't know how our offense is gonna do. I was gonna go 33-27 TCU.
There you go.
All right, thinking about the same thing. 30. I'd like to score 30 points. Dubber, how about you?
They have a little more confidence than I do to score more points. I think we're all in the same boat. We just don't know what to expect. I mean, this has probably been one of the more up and down years that we've all experienced. I mean, even in last year, you just knew it was going to be we're going to win ugly. It was going to be low. It was going to be blah blah blah. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the case this year. I mean, we have an opportunity where we could score points, and we have the opportunity where we can shut people out or not. But you, man, I just have the hardest time reading what we're going to do. So I'm going to say we're going to score more points, but I'm going to keep it under 30 mark. I'm going to say 28-24.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking low scoring game as well. Definitely under the 30 mark. I'm going to go 2017 Frogs. And I think Texas Tech is a good team. They've had some weird things happen to them this season as well. I just don't think that that defense is good as Baylor for one. And I honestly think that our team will score, but I think it's an un I think what we have seen this year is a very undisciplined team. Whether that, as Shannon said, it's a youthful team, or whether there's something else going on that we've kind of touched on a little bit or danced around the bush a little bit tonight. I don't know what that is, but I think that this team probably scores, a couple of touchdowns, couple of field goals, and the defense rises again, but does give up a big play or two, but keeps Texas Tech under 20. So I'm saying 20-17 Frogs.
There you go.
So
17 is Coach B's magic number.
So you're on, got more points for the Frogs than the other team. I don't care what the score is if you're right.
Right.
I will not one.
Yeah, I tell you what, this season I'm perfectly fine with adopting Coach Patterson's win by one philosophy, as long as we just win. But that hasn't been the case so far the last couple of weeks. But hopefully it will be on Saturday as the Frogs travel to Lubbock. And with that, we've come to the end of our podcast. We want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. The podcast course available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, everywhere you can find podcasts these days. And of course, you go to killerfrogs.com. You can sign up for a free account and follow the TCU, all the various TCU teams on our forum. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's a time where we all get the frogs up and we get to say, Go Frogs!